أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن تبدوا صدقات فنعما هي وإن تخفوها وتعطوها فقراء فهو خير لكم ويكفر عنكم من سيئاتكم والله بما تعملون خبير. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Last night we began our topic where we introduced the concept of being anonymous in Islam. We talked about the idea that there is immense spiritual value in silence, be it of our words or of our good deeds. And I described to all of you that the duality that we live in today in society is such that in the corporate world and sometimes in the academic world, you have to sell yourself, present yourself. There are many people who can't bring themselves to do that in the corporate world, and sometimes they get bypassed when it comes to promotions. And while they're the ones that introduce processes or, you know, fixed up initiatives or improve certain reports or certain forms, because they weren't able to advertise that, they got bypassed in terms of overlooked, let's say, for a promotion. In the academia world, like I said last night, you won't get any respect until you actually tangibly tell people what you've done in this field, where you're published, what you've done, show me your work, tell me all of your accolades and all of your accomplishments. And that resides in the tangible world. And sometimes people like me make the mistake that I believe that has to be done in the intangible world as well, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I won't get respect of the people unless I sell myself and present myself and tell everybody what I've done. And we don't believe in this process, especially in this era of overexpression, on the concept of simply being quiet about what I've done. This need that some people have to tell everybody everything that they've done, small or large, has become a little bit of a disease or addiction inside of our communities. And last night, on the basis of this verse from Surah Baqarah of 271, we extracted a number of lessons just as an introduction, and we'll build on that tonight. I left you on a little bit of a cliffhanger last night where I said that those of us, and this is a month of reflection, right? A month of self-building, a month of introspection. We have to ask ourselves, am I like that? Have I been told by my loved ones that you really are proud of yourself? That you really love the sound of your voice? There are some people, like I said, the more they talk, the less we listen. Then there are those that the less they talk, the more we listen. So it's not about actual quantity. It's not quantifying what you have to offer, it's qualifying it. And the basis of my five nights is, let God take care of your respect. You don't need to take that into your own hands. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to elevate a mu'min, it's higher than anything you and I could accomplish with our own hands. But for some reason, and obviously there are reasons that we understand, we feel the need to take it into our own hands. That how will they know, Sayyid, if I don't tell them what I established here in the community? How will they know if they don't know that for decades now I've been doing this one program at JCC? How will they know if they don't know this? And so we believe that this exists in a tangible world. And tomorrow, as my commercial to all of you, we will connect this need for us to be expressive about our good deeds with the concept of الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. That's tomorrow, inshallah. Tonight, as I promised you, we'll look at the reasons as to why. Why do some of us have this need to fill this gap inside of us with the praise of others? What's lacking inside of me where I'm hungry for someone else's applause or a plaque or an 8x11 framed piece of paper or somebody's praise-filled words? Is there a hole inside of me? Do I need constant validation from the public? If so, why? Let's examine that briefly in now my 25-minute discussion. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. And I'll be constantly revisiting the verse that I read for you in the khutbah, verse number 271 from Surah Baqarah. Allah now says, if you want to give sadaqah and charity openly, no problem. It's good for you. But وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُعْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَىٰ, if you conceal that sadaqah and you give that sadaqah in the state that it's concealed, to who? To a faqir. If you do that, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that's better for you. To the point where he says it's so better, وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, Allah will actually cover a portion of your evil deeds and sins by this one act alone. And then the ending of it that I really left a little bit left last night was what? Wallahu bima ta'maluna khabir. Allah is fully aware of what you do. Let me speak on that a little bit and then talk a little bit about shaitan. I don't know about all of you, but when I hear in the Quran that it constantly reminds me that Allah now knows what I do. Allah is aware of my deeds. Allah is not ghafil towards what I do. Allah sees everything that I do. When I hear this, my mind goes towards the negative. But I can't hide in this universe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He knows that what I've done secretly and openly, behind closed doors, out in public. So it's a little bit of a daunting statement. But in this verse, I want it to be looked at through the positive lens. There's a lot of you, and especially my dear sisters who are listening, inshallah, are individuals who constantly ask themselves, does anybody see my sacrifice? There are people right now at home listening who can't come here. There are mothers who are sacrificing to be at home with their babies, but they can't be here amongst this beautiful atmosphere in the month of Ramadan. And we're bound to ask, does anybody see the sacrifice that I make? Does anybody see my good deeds? I do things quietly with the hopes that maybe I might get some appreciation at home, in the public eye, in the community. And sometimes, honestly, we're not able to truly appreciate those at home who do all the sacrificing. So that person is left incomplete, wondering, what's the point of all this? Why am I doing all this? Why do I keep sacrificing when it feels like I'm being abused constantly? There's never a moment where anyone at home says, look, why don't you go to the center tonight? I'll watch the small kids. Or a simple thank you, let's say, for the sacrifice that they've made. Whether it's the idea that they've stopped going to school, or they have, let's say, for example, paused their career so they can boost up your career, for example. And then comes these types of statements from Allah. Not in a negative way, in a reassuring way. Allah's telling us, look, if nobody sees what you do, I see what you do. If no one is able to recognize your sacrifice, I'll recognize your sacrifice. Surah An-Nisa has a very beautiful opening line. I forget the verse number. Where Allah now says, فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ مُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمًا. If you remember, I'm sure you do, a few months back on a Thursday night on this very minbar, I talked about this verse. I said, there are those in the eyes of Allah that struggle, that strive. Sometimes openly, sometimes secretly. Sometimes for everyone to see, sometimes for no one to see. But the struggle is there, right? There are a mujahid or a mujahida. As opposed to a qa'id, the one who sits and does nothing. No sacrifice, no attempt to sacrifice. Very, very lazy, very bland, totally non-ambitious, nothing. That's a qa'id. Sits down, does nothing. Is there a difference between the two? Of course there is. And while communities or families or even spouses may not recognize those who are the struggling and striver, Allah says, my fadl is with the mujahid and the one who struggles. To the point where not only will I recognize them, ajrun azim, I have a grand reward for them. And that's why it's important to remind yourself, you may not get the validation from home. You may not get the appreciation from home. You might be waiting for a thank you your whole life. You might be waiting, let's say, for a moment of appreciation your whole life from your spouse, from your parents, from your children, from your loved one, from your in-laws, and you may never get it. That's just how the insan is. We are forgetful. The word insan comes from nisyan, to forget. We sometimes forget, or we take it for granted, or we assume that everyone is doing this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a long-term memory. Allah doesn't forget these things, does not waste a single good act, ensures that the one who struggles is seen by him and him alone. So why is it that we still, knowing all of this, why is it that we still feel the need to get the praise from people? The verses I'm looking at in the Quran, and I ask all of you, if you can, at home, here with your phones, follow along. Surah Baqarah 271, a few verses before that, in this batch of verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the act of giving. In 268, if I'm not mistaken, about three verses up, he brings up shaitan. Okay? Very interesting. He says in a small statement, and the beauty of the Quran is such that yes, verses and surahs could have an impact on our life, but sometimes a half of a verse is enough to shake our foundation. And I ask you, as you read through the Quran, and many of you have mastered this idea of finishing, if not one, then multiple Qurans in this month of Ramadan, and that's incredible. It really is. To go to work and manage the house and still read the Quran and still come here and get home at 10 o'clock, wake up for suhoor. May Allah give you 1,000 lives in this world, inshallah. That is a lot. And God sees that, believe me. You're tired, you're sleep deprived, you're working. Nothing stops in this dunya. And still you're able to find some time for at least one juz a day. While you're reciting the Quran, pick at least 4 or 5 verses and ponder on them. Read the translation, a little bit of in-depth analysis. The scary part is this. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those who simply live at the surface level of the deen. If my memory serves me, the verse starts off by saying, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِلْجَهَنَّمَا كَثِيرًا مِنْ جِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. From the majority of the men and the jinn that are in the hellfire, لَهُمْ قُلُوبًا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They had hearts, but they never allowed anything to penetrate inside that heart. They kept everything at a surface level, at a checklist. That's it. Everything, okay, if we're done the checklist, we're done. Whereas maybe one verse of that entire juz might change our life. Right? So I ask myself, first and foremost, and all of you, read the Quran, no doubt, but study the Quran as well. When you look at 260 of Surah Baqarah, Allah starts off by telling us what shaitan does. Ash-shaytanu yu'idukum al-faqra. Very important. Shaitan threatens us with poverty. Okay? He threatens us with poverty. Now, the verses, the theme of these verses are about giving, sadaqah. So right away, my mind goes towards financial poverty. If I give this amount in a donation, I won't have this amount for this, for example. So we become a little bit tight. And right now in this inflation world, we are a little bit tight when it comes to our pockets. But is that the only translation of poverty that we can think of? Are there different forms of poverty or not? Is poverty only the lack of money? Is poverty only the lessening of money? And no, it isn't. Allama Tabatabai in Tafsir al-Mizan talks about the idea that what is this threat Allah talks about? And the threat is not just poverty from money, but it's also poverty from praise as well. It's poverty from people as well. Well, shaitan threatens us with poverty, not in our pocket, but in our praise. It says, look, if you don't tell the people what you've done, they won't know. And you'll be just somebody who's common amongst the people. Whereas you deserve to be elevated. Remember, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam. I know you're tired, it's been a long day. Can I just have a little bit of a better salawat than that, please, if you don't mind? Thank you. Allahumma salam. And I ask all of you out there who are volunteers, and my salam to those volunteers, those parking volunteers, the ones who are serving chai, the ones right now who are cleaning up somewhere in this building, right? The entire ladies committee, those who run Al-Asr, all these programs, incredible human beings, sacrificial, angels on earth, no doubt. But our sixth imam says, as hard as it is to establish something with sincerity, it's harder to maintain that sincerity. Ikhlas, to be khulus, is one of, if not the most difficult things to achieve in this world. Because it's not like I'm saying everybody starts off their great deed hoping for this influx of praise. No, there are some people who have absolutely clean hearts and still have clean hearts decades after. But the moment that any of you wish to start something, establish something, begin something with the most sincerest of hearts, rest assured, you've caught the attention of shaitan. And he will come and attempt to infiltrate that heart of yours. To tell you that, look, this could be an avenue of narcissism for you. An avenue of self-love and conceit for you. This can easily turn this amal-e khair to amal-e su, an evil deed. Right? The hadith says, as I mentioned last night, a secret act has the highest reward. But the hadith goes on to say, when you tell one person about that secret deed, it drops from a deed that's done in secrecy to a deed that's done in public. Still has reward, still a good deed. But when that one becomes 10, then 20, then 50, then now all of a sudden you're emailing the entire community, do you know who I am? This is what I've done. Now it goes from being to secret to now plastered all over the community. It goes from your amal-e khair book to your amal-e su book. It goes from a ni'mat to a niqmat. A blessing to now a curse. And who's happy in between? Shaitan. So the maintaining of sincerity is extremely important. Part of that process is we can't fall into the trap of shaitan, who threatens us with a poverty of praise. I talked about car signaling yesterday, right? I said you're driving down the road, you want to turn right, you turn on your signal. That signal tells the person in front of you, behind you, beside you, your passenger, you the driver, I'm turning right in about 2 minutes. And we have also what's called virtue signaling as well. We turn on our signal and we plaster the virtue all over town. The one in front of me, the one behind me, the one to my left or right, and the one inside of me all knows I did this virtue. And it becomes a disease of the hearts. And part of the problem is shaitan, big surprise. He comes in, starts doing what he does best, and what's wasa inside of our hearts? Telling us it's an avenue for you to really be the elite in that community. And we make an intangible beauty into a tangible world. And now we've limited that. Remember, anything tangible you can touch with your hand, or you can hear or feel or smell, becomes very limited in the box, right? So why give a deed that's made for the unlimited a limited box? Let God take care of that for you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, so first cause of it is shaitan. The second cause is that there are people who are chronically people pleasers in our community. They can't function if they know someone's upset at them. They have to constantly be in the good books of everybody. And that's a great goal. Just sometimes, it's not very practical. You're not going to please everybody in a very judgmental world. And if I know that if I tell people about what I'm doing and I break this idea of what is anonymous, then maybe I'll gain their pleasure. And again, our sixth imam, beautiful hadith. He says that, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Again, he says, if you enter the deen of Islam, please listen very carefully. Incredible hadith. The treasure of the Ahlul Bayt. If you enter the deen of Islam because of people, you will exit the deen of Islam because of people. If you enter the deen of Islam based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt, he says, mountains will move. You won't lead the path of the deen. So I get the fact that we are communal beings, social beings. I'm not saying go out and make enemies. I'm not saying don't function in society. Of course, maintain our relationships, right? Build our bridges, no doubt about that. But not to the point now where I said we hijack our own good deeds and we give them to others with the hopes that maybe these people that this week will like me and next week won't like me perhaps. Remember, it's very difficult to read people sometimes. It's very hard to understand the complexity of the human being, right? The same guy who was close to me last month, this month doesn't want to see my face. The same person now who I thought we were close to won't say salam to me, let's say, sitting beside me on the dastakhan and sufra. You can't figure people out sometimes. And they have their own 1,000 issues. So that complexity now is tough to please, tough to tap into. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's what? Ya sari al-ridha. He's very easily pleased. We know what he likes. He likes an ounce of sincerity. He likes the first step towards him. He likes the maintaining of sincerity. That's why it's important. If you are somebody who's been doing something for the community for the past decade almost, 2 decades almost, some of you are fixed in your volunteer spot. And as hard as it is, you don't want to move. Once in a while, every so often, revisit your niyat. Stop and ask yourself, why am I doing this? If it's for the praise of the people, it becomes a problem. You're removing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the equation. So 2 reasons why sometimes we feel the need to not be anonymous. The need to plaster all over social media everything that I've done. You've seen this, right? Any good ad, feeding the homeless, giving out blankets, soup kitchens, there's a camera crew around this guy. Filming everything. And I'll talk about that in a couple of nights. I'm not saying that that's not bad. There are some acts that we do to encourage others and some acts we should do to encourage others. Right? The ulama and even ahadith backs this up. There are some acts that should be done publicly. I'm talking about those of us who want every single one of my good deeds to be known by all. And the last point I want to make tonight is this. Let's be very careful. I talk to myself up here. That we don't challenge God's powers by taking something on that should be His. Let's be very careful. What I mean by that is this. Salu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. I told myself 9:50. Right now it's 9:47. 3 more minutes, hang in there. We could possibly, and I'm not saying people do this intentionally, subconsciously, we could be challenging God, God forbid. What I mean by that is this. When we begin to take the praise of others into our own hands, like essentially what I'm talking about these 5 nights is to give that to God. Get this whole box called my praise and give it to God. God, you let me know if and when I'm worthy of that praise. Okay? I'll let you handle my respect amongst the masses. I'll do my best to uphold a reputation. I'll do my best to uphold my akhlaq. My deeds are aapke hawale. They're yours. And you figure it out and I will rely on your wisdom. But when we take that box back, we say, I will distribute to who I want. 2 things may come about subconsciously now. Number 1 is we're telling God, God, you can't do this for me. You may forget something. You may leave something out. And secondly, and maybe more dangerously, is that I can't have the people pleased with me and God also pleased with me. It's not possible that God can put honor in his own heart and in the heart of others as well. He's incapable, subconsciously, of doing that. Right? So let me go ahead and take that away from him and ensure the right people know what I do. Right? And we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Sometimes we pick and choose, right? We see somebody who has a certain income bracket and all of our resume comes out of our tongue. Right? We see an alim, a scholar, someone that we respect, our resume is given to him verbally. Let me introduce myself to you, Mulana. I'm so-and-so. I've done this. Brrr. Thank you very much. Your name would have been sufficient. Right? Just so you know who I am. To the point where you might have heard of me, Mulana. I don't know who you are, brother. Sorry. There is this need inside. So there's a deeper meaning that I want to expand on tomorrow, that we now forget the what? We forget alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. We forget there is an unseen entity who's guiding us, looking after us, who is our ma'bud. We remove him from the equation between me and the public. And that's dangerous. An act that should be done for God has to be spread by God as well. So let them understand, or let him take over that role. Otherwise, God forbid, we are shortchanging ourselves. Believe me, as I said before, I'll end with this, the respect that God can give you, nobody else, including yourself, can give yourself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our qaleel ibadat in the month of Ramadan. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our fast, accept the fast of our young ones, inshallah, forgive the sins of our parents, and allow us to have this connection with the Quran such that we become a better version of ourselves. And finally, Allah, we do all of this with the hopes that maybe, inshallah, when the Imam comes, we stand beside him in his mission. Thank you very much for your patience. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.